My boss is making me work on Christmas, but I really need that day off. See, I'm planning to propose to my girlfriend in front of her family for good effect, but my boss just won't budge. There's only one thing I can think of that'll make him see the true meaning of the holiday season, and that's the Star Wars Christmas special. But I can't find a DVD or tape anywhere. Can you help me?
Very well! I shall help you download the Star Wars Christmas special to impress your boss.
Thank you, kind sir!
But I've gotta warn you, it's not very good. Attention, video pirates of the world! I have assembled you all here for a very important quest. To find the Star Wars Christmas special on BitTorrent.
It does not exist!
That be not true. I've seen bits of it on YouTube, unfortunately.
Quite right. Therefore, the rest of it must be out there somewhere. Go find it.
My God, they actually burned me a copy. Hey, check this out, Gary. I think you'll really like it.
Merry Christmas, Chewbacca! Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas, you drafty old Millennium Falcon!
This is terrible, Chuck.
Oh, I can't fit down that chimney shaft, Rudolph. It's only 2 meters wide.
Just for that, I'm making you work a double.
No!
That copied video didn't work at all. My boss hates piracy. I need another way to melt his icy cold heart.
Well met. I shall assemble a motley crew of characters to get in there and show him the true, true meaning of Christmas.
What a ghastly apparition! Who are you, Spectre?
I'm Andrew Ryan, and I'd like to ask you a question. Do you not remember your first Christmas?
Why, that's me, copying a cassette tape as a baby.
And the concert where you went to get it autographed?
Mr. Vanilla Ice, please sign my tape.
That's an illegal copy. Make an example of him.
With pleasure.
No, not my dog! Oh, Scrappy!
And that is why you hate Christmas.
Thank you for reminding me. Now get the hell out of here.
Good, now I can get back to torturing kittens.
Ah, Christ, what is it now? I gotta get up at 6 a.m.
It's a me, Mario. I'm going to show you the Christmas present.
Hey, but first, since you're Mario, can you hook me up with a Wii?
Are you kidding? I don't even have a one. It's a pathetic.
Very well, Spirit. Conduct me where you will.
Here we go. Look at all of these people, starving, without the shoes on their feet, and nearly a companion cube at their side. They can't afford the Christmas albums to bring them cheer, so they must download them off of the internet. Anything to give them hope.
That's awful. Arrest them all!
Oh, shit!
Please, sir, one more coin and I can get a pair of shoes.
Hope you rot, criminal scum.
Those guys you sent just made things worse. He's already got me scheduled for next Christmas.
Very well. It appears I will have to take care of matters myself, as it were.
Ugh. Now what?
I have come to show you the future of internet piracy Christmas future. The results may be shocking.
You're the biggest pirate of them all.
Bigger! Now come, we've much to do. This is the future home of your employee, Chuck. All his family wants on Christmas Eve is to watch Saw 14. But alas, since gas now costs $38 a gallon, they've got to choose between that and eating.
But he'll buy the movie disc, right? He won't just pirate it?
I see a home without a DVD player. Everything in the future will be downloaded, both legally and illegally. There's no way to police it.
So I've just been wasting everyone's time? I should just give up?
Pretty much. Now see this!
Spirit, what foul scene lay before me?
You were forced here at a young age after worrying so much about video piracy. Look well upon it and despair, for it is your grave.
What are you doing then?
Pissing on it.
Take me back, Spectre. I can bear no more.
Wait a moment. All right, I'm done.
We're back? In my home? I'm alive, so it's not too late.
Indeed. So now will you stop harassing video pirates?
Probably not.
Oh. Well, then will you at least give Chuck the day off?
I suppose.
Good enough.
And that is how Chuck's boss learned the true meaning of Christmas.
Actually, I didn't learn anything.
God bless us, every one of
the end. Telling you be of good cheer.
Ho, 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 and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. While you might think I am Santa Claus, I am actually Ben Heckendorn.
Do you have your bottle of rum with you?
Yes, I do very well.
You need to when you're downloading ROMs.
Yes, we, for the second year in a row, I could not get the It's a Wonderful Half-Life intro script to work. So I had to come up with another one at the last minute. Sorry.
Yes.
Maybe next year, but probably not.
Can crap out Video Pirates and Mario Squad ones like they're going out of style.
That's right. All right, well, this is kind of our holiday special, kind of like the Star Wars holiday special.
Hopefully better, though.
Oh, I don't know if you... Have you ever seen any of that?
No, but I've heard tales of woe regarding it.
I know you're a big Star Wars fan. You might be best not seeing it.
Yeah.
It's not very good. I mean, that's probably George Lucas's shining sellout moment right there.
Nice.
Anyway, none of our topics really involve the holiday season or anything like that, but we do have a yearly game award since this is probably the last podcast of the year, I believe.
And that could kind of tie into the holidays if people haven't bought those Christmas gifts just yet, so.
Right. So we're going to talk about, we've made a bunch of interesting awards, so to speak, and then of course some fairly boring ones, including what we think the game of the year was. Remember, these are just our opinions. We do not get paid to play video games, thus we cannot play every video game.
Yes, but so obviously it's going to lean kind of heavily towards one of the consoles. I can't imagine which one.
Yeah. Okay, so that's our first topic. Our second topic is monumentally delayed games. Just today being Wednesday the 19th, the Duke Nukem Forever teaser trailer was released, which is the first video anyone has seen from Duke Nukem Forever since 2001. So I thought it would be appropriate to talk about that and other games that have been delayed for ridiculous amounts of times or time in the past, such as Prey and Too Human. Yes, I'm sure that'll be very interesting. And our final and third topic that we just kind of came up with at the last minute is CGI, computer graphics. I don't know exactly what the... Oh, imagery. Computer CGI killing Hollywood.
Yes.
Why was that? It was like one of those abbreviations like PSU for power supply.
Yeah.
You know, so I know the U is for the U in power supply, but you think that'd be a whole other word, you know? Shouldn't it just be PS?
So is your abbreviated name for your band PSU then?
Could be. Like with an undercase U?
Yeah.
Or lowercase? Undercase. I am the undercaser.
Then you'd have to get out your periodic chart to figure out what your band name means.
Yes. Anyway, so, you know what actually made me think of this?
Oh, boy.
It was either last week or 2 weeks ago, I was watching Mythbusters, actually, and they were doing Point Break myths, which is another movie I'm not familiar with. And, you know, they showed the clip from Point Break, and, you know, Patrick Swayze jumps out of an airplane or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, this is back when people actually jumped out of airplanes, even back in 1990.
Yep, back in the good old days.
And now everything is fake, you know?
Yep.
And so I think we should talk about that. And, you know, it's driving the budget up. The movies get more and more expensive because they always have to have more and more effects. And it still never looks convincing. I mean,
yeah.
So we should talk about that.
That sounds like fun. Let's do it.
Very well. Well met.
Yes.
I still need to go into Miller's and say that. I was just there yesterday buying Pepsi. It's like, anything else? Well met.
Thank you, kind sir.
You made a good bit of gold. All right, games we've been playing. You want to go first? Jones?
Yeah.
As opposed to anyone else in the room?
Yeah. As opposed to the peanut gallery. Yeah, I guess Rock Band, probably. And I did play a bit of Mass Effect as well, I suppose. My 360, as a news item, finally came back to me last Wednesday, so just a week ago today. And of course it was a refurb, it wasn't actually mine. And it took a little over a month to get back, but I'm guessing that's because I had an Elite and they probably don't have that many refurbs of those laying around, so. But yeah, just pretty much Rock Band, and got a little bit of the downloadable content for that. Got the Metallica song pack and the Queens of the Stone Age one, and those are a pretty good time, and starting to try to learn how to play the drums on it a bit. It's pretty damn tricky. I got so I can play on medium a little bit now, but That damn kick pedal bites you every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mass Effect, I didn't get to get too deep into yet, but it looks like it could be pretty involving once I get going a little bit further in it, so... Pretty cool.
You'll have to let us know when you come across the infamous scene.
Yes. Probably 2 months from now. Since
oh, that's right. You created your character the other night when Kurt and I came to visit.
Yep.
Meg Ryan Shepherd.
That's right. And Meg Ryan is in my band as well.
Yes, Jones's band consists of all Top Gun type characters. He has Maverick, Goose, Meg Ryan, and then who's
and then
the other one?
Vipers, the Val Kilmer character or whatever. He's the lead singer.
I thought he was Iceman in that movie.
Was it? Oh, shit, you're right. I gotta go rename him.
I was gonna say, I mean, how could... I mean...
I didn't think Viper sounded right, but
yes,
I couldn't
Iceman.
Think of it. Yep, well, I gotta rename him now.
Oh, man, I can't believe I knew something about Top Gun that you didn't know.
Yes. Well, it's not like it's my favorite movie ever or anything.
It's all right.
They do need to make Danger Zone downloadable for Rock Band, though. That would be awesome.
They blew up actual plane models and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, my band's called Maverick and the Danger Zone, so...
Why not just Danger Zone?
Because some other bastard took it already.
Pissed
me
Loggins.
Off. Ugh. I was all primed to get home, open up a Rock Band, put in Danger Zone. Sorry, this name's already taken.
What about the Need for Speed?
Ugh. Same thing. Oh, I got the Need for Speed. Yeah.
It was taken, too?
I didn't even try it, but I'd imagine.
Those jerks. It's all Seventh Son's fault. They're still the top group.
Yes.
Man, what did Max out at, like 600,000 fans?
Yeah, for hard. Yeah, so everything after 600,000, you gotta be on expert. I think that's a little weak, myself. I think they should've just done, like, a graduated fan system, where...
The more you play, the more you get?
Well, like, if you... You know, like, let's say... You get half the number of fans that the maximum is on expert. Like, let's say the maximum is 10 for the sake of arguments per song. You can get 10 fans per song. If you play on experts, your maximum. If you're on hard, you get 7 fans. I'm just picking arbitrary numbers. You play on medium, the maximum you can get is 5, and then easy, it's like 3 or something. So that way, even though so they don't have the stupid cap thing like they've got, it's just... If somebody wants to play on easy or medium and they can't really progress beyond that, they're not really stuck. It's like you can keep getting fans, because it's kind of annoying when you max out your fans and after every show you see 0 fans earned.
And every band member has to play at the new level in order to get fans.
And the odds of having 4 people or even 3 people together that can all play at the same level is pretty... Not super low, but it's not super likely either, I don't think. And like us, you know, we've played it a good bit, but, you know, we already got it maxed out on hard. And I don't think we're going to get to the point where, you know, like 3 or 4 of us can play on expert. I just don't really envision that happening. You know, maybe a couple of songs we could do, but other than that, I don't know. So
Fire
I think,
up old Creep and...
And Say It Ain't So.
And In Bloom.
But, yeah, I think they kind of boned it a little bit on the... fan thing. I think they should have just made it where if you play on expert, your maximum number of fans you can get in the game is higher than on the other levels, but you continue to gain fans even if you play on lower levels. I think that would have been a better way to handle it. But
right, because we haven't even come close, even though we like beat the game and like did that super long set list.
Yeah.
There's still lots of gigs and cities we haven't even closed out yet.
Yeah.
I don't think we've even closed out a city yet on Power Supply, have we?
I don't think so. Maybe one, but yeah, it's like we're already maxed out at 600,000. But then on expert,
well,
like
you get
the
more
top,
stars though.
Yeah, you get stars, but you know it'd be
the leaderboards are all by fans, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a star leaderboard, is there?
No, it's just fans, and it's like you know you got so on hard the highest you can get is 600,000, but then you got like a few bands now that are over 100 million fans. They obviously all play on expert, but why is it 600,000, 100-some million? You know, that's a pretty big
leap.
I think they could have done something different with that, but oh well.
That's true.
It is what it is. But yeah, so that's what I've been playing. I mean,
it's
kind
still
of digressed. Like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's all you played is Rock Band.
I played Bioshock a little bit last week. because that new content came out.
Oh, that's right. I got to play that again, too, with the new plasmids. So.
Then I had this great idea. I called up my sister the other day. I'm like, hey, remember when you asked me what I wanted for Christmas? I thought of something. Contra 4 for the DS.
There so it is.
Sure, I'll play that.
Can blow the dust off that DS.
It's right there.
There it is.
Okay, well, yep. So those are the games we've been playing. News items. Well, I guess we already talked about the Duke Nukem Forever teaser trailer. We'll probably come to that later on when we talk about Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
What do you think of this Wii Rain Check program at GameStop?
I think it's pretty much a ploy on their part to try to stave off a few sales to their competitors, which is fine, I guess, but because I think they think they're losing some sales to the 360 and PS3, and they probably are, because some people are like, I need to have something to put under the tree, so here it is, I'll get them a real system. And
I wonder if people at Best Buy can say that even.
I would if I worked there.
Yes.
I'd be like, you don't want that piece of crap here. Get a real one.
Well, think about it. I mean, what would the Best Buy manager rather want? Someone comes in and not buy what they want?
Or they
buy
something.
Yeah.
And buy something where the people actually come back and buy games for the console.
They're hurting the industry right here.
Yeah.
They're not making a product available, and they're taking sales away from other products because people want the product that's not available.
Yeah. Well, the thing that this made me think of right away
was Star Wars.
Was it Kenner, or who was it that made
it? I think
those?
It was Kenner, yeah.
Yeah, it was like back in 77, Christmas of 77, they had the Star Wars action figures, but there was such a huge demand because nobody anticipated the movie being so big that there was this ridiculous demand for the action figures, and they couldn't make enough of them.
Right.
And it was actually like legitimate, not like fake, you know, crap like Nintendo is pulling these days.
Nintendo should have been able to anticipate this.
By now? Yeah, it's been over a year. They could have ramped up production enough.
They could have, oh, I don't know, opened a new factory. Oh, wait, that would cost money.
Yeah, and that would be looking at the future, which they know they don't have. So.
And then they'd have empty factories sitting around. Oh, wait, I forgot. That console's going to last till 2012, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you ever seen, like, flowcharts like that? Like, analysts see PS3 catching up to Wii in 2012. And it's like, don't they realize in 2012 the Wii will be an 11-year-old video game machine? I mean, 11-year-old technology?
Yeah. And it'll be collecting dust.
Anyway,
in
I'm sorry, Star Wars Kenner thing?
But yeah, so it reminds me of that because basically what happened is they couldn't make enough of these action figures, so they sold this cardboard box, basically, with like a certificate inside it that on the box it had a picture of, oh, here's the 10 action figures you're going to get, and here's your little certificate that'll let you come in and redeem it for when we actually get around to making them like 6 months from now or whatever it's going to be. So basically the kids got a piece of paper under the tree and an empty box. And this is kind of what this reminds me of, because now a kid's...
Well, if you go from like May 77 to Christmas 77, that's not really a whole heck of a lot of time to get a whole toy line ready, especially since they didn't expect it to be popular.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I said. I think it's legit that Kenner didn't have production ready because nobody anticipated how huge Star Wars was going to be.
Yeah.
Nintendo, this shit's been going on for over a year. You've had time.
It goes back to what I think is that once they sell one to everyone that wants it, it'll be over.
Yeah. It'll be like the Volkswagen Beetle.
But by having short supply, guess what? They get free press and free publicity.
Yeah.
I mean, any company would want to do that, but yeah. In this case, I feel that the product is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And it's part of the deception. But we should probably move on from that. But yeah, I think it's horse shit. People should just buy a real fucking game system.
Yeah. Because now kids are going to sit there on Christmas Day, open up this envelope or something, and oh, gee, look, I am going to get a Wii by January 25th. Awesome.
How many big games are left on the Wii? Like one?
Yeah, what is it? Super Smash Bros. Brawl is the only one that anybody really talks about anymore that's left, and then I guess they've blown their wad at that point.
Well, people say that about the Xbox 360, but I don't really... I mean, there's going to be like... What, Gears of War 2? Does it come out like next year? Or?
There's talk of it. I don't think there's an official date. But then there's like 2 Human. And then you've got like Rainbow Six Vegas 2 is coming out.
Well, of course, like, a little game called Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
I think when that comes out, that'll be interesting because...
Yeah.
It's the first big game that's going to be out on either one of the new consoles. I mean, I'm sure it'll sell more than like 3 or 4 million
Halo.
Copies. Exactly. But, of course, we've talked about that quite a bit.
Yes.
Any other gaming news items that you have? I just had those two things myself.
That was pretty much it, other than this, like, goofy Bruckheimer game studio thing, whatever, which...
Who cares?
That'll
what did Spielberg end up doing? And then
didn't he help out with Medal of Honor? But that was, like, back before that deal happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's come of that yet, so...
Same thing with, well, Peter Jackson had that King Kong game. That didn't exactly set the world on fire.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so that's about it.
Okay.
Lame rain checks.
All right, well, let's move on to our yearly game awards. Or should we put that at the end of the podcast as kind of like a climax?
Why not? Although there will probably be a lot of discussion there, so we'll have to, like, rip through our other topics. It'll be fine.
All right. We will rip through our other topics.
Rip them all down.
All right, let's try to get through the other topics by the 30-minute mark, then. How about that?
Holy crap. Awesome.
All right. Monument... Oh, see? I went for it. Game of the year. Oh, yeah. Are you surprised?
Not really.
Okay. Anyway, yes, my game of the year is Horses for the Nintendo DS. All right. All right, so we flipped around our topics. Monumentally delayed games.
Yes. Yeah, the Duke Nukem Forever is pretty legendary as far as being delayed.
It won Wired Magazine's...
the Vaporware Award, wasn't it?
It won it 3 years in a row. They got tired of it winning, so they just gave it the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yep.
So by popular demand, it won the regular award again last year.
Yeah, I was reading that there was a thing... I can't remember how I got linked to it, but there was this article where this guy basically compiled kind of the history of Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh, I read that, yeah.
Dating back to, like, 97 or 98, whenever it was. And it was just, like, ridiculous, all the iterations and, like, the different engines that they've licensed to use for it. And it's just crazy. The thing just kind of keeps going along.
There was a, I don't know, it was some sort of, like, gag article several years ago. I think I might have been on GameSpy. And it was like this fake gaming news from like the year 1900. And it's like, you know, bare thighs seen at E3 1901 and, you know, things like that. And one of them was breaking news. Duke Nukem switches from coal to steam engine. That was really funny. So you never played Duke Nukem?
No, I never have, actually.
It's one hell of a game.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out sometime. I'm sure it's easy to come by in whatever form. But
I mean, you know, obviously Quake 1 came out the same year, 1996. But Quake had an interesting graphics engine, but you ended up fighting like the same three bad guys over and over and over.
Okay.
And since I didn't play it online, I didn't care for that part of it. So, whereas Duke Nukem, you were basically this Arnold Schwarzenegger ripoff guy. Went around, you know, saying all these smart-ass remarks, and then, which it had voice.
Yeah,
and,
which was a big deal then. So,
but well, I had a lot of, you know, gimmicky things like that. Like you would go up to a guy and say, "I'm going to rip off your head and shit down your neck," and then you know you could actually like tip strippers and stuff. And but beyond that, the game was incredibly deep.
Yeah.
The gameplay was really neat. The levels were huge. You could like explore them, and it was just a really neat game. You could like this is in 1996. You could like find a pool table and shoot the balls and make them go into the pockets and
wow.
Turn on, like, lights and elevators. And
yeah, I remember when I was playing Prey that one time, which is another one of these long-delayed games that finally saw the light of day, actually. But when playing through that right at the beginning, I remember you mentioning that it reminded you of Duke Nukem, because you could, like, go up to, like, the faucet or whatever and turn mm-hmm. the water on and flush the toilet and,
yep.
you know, go play this arcade game in the corner and flip light switches on and off and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it's...
That was one. Yeah, that was what was so cool about Duke Nukem is it was just, it was like a, it, you know, Quake was all this architecture and slime and crap, and with Duke Nukem you were like in a world, you know. It was like I'm in a movie theater. That was like this first stage, or I'm in a prison, or I'm in a city that's been submerged or something, and you know, it was yeah. it was like in a world, and then of course you invariably go into outer space, but it's still cool. And the weapons were awesome. I mean, he had like he'd throw these pipe bombs and push a button and they'd explode. That was like one of the weapons, and
wow.
it was a pretty awesome game. And of course, you know, Duke Nukem would always say, you know, cool things. Like, you could find this Duke Nukem pinball machine, and if you went up and pushed the activate button, he's like, I don't have time to play with myself. It's pretty, I don't know, it's just a classic game.
Yeah, the Duke Nukem in that new trailer, he looks suspiciously like Bruce Willis.
You think?
Pumped up on roids.
That's true. And of course, they didn't show a heck of a lot in that trailer, but
no.
it was something.
Yeah, it shows there's something they've been working on.
The last time they had a trailer was E3 2001, and you can actually find it on the internet. It even looks a little dated for 2001, but it still looks cool.
Yeah, they said this new one shares like pretty much nothing with that old one.
I'm sure it's been restarted at least 3 or 4 times. I mean, it's been like, 10 years, basically, since they said we're making Duke Nukem. Forever.
I think they said they started on this version of it in like 04 or 05. So it's had a couple, 3 years to gestate here, I guess.
All right. Well, what I was getting at was Duke Nukem was a really cool game. And even though everyone's like pissed off and all this, I think when it finally comes out, people will buy it. I'll buy it.
Oh, yeah.
If it actually comes out, which I think it will. Look at Prey. Prey started in 1995.
Yeah.
And it came out in 2006. And it was like, it was even canceled at one time, which is something that didn't happen to Duke Nukem. But it came out.
Yeah.
I think there's a pretty good chance it could actually come out next year.
Oh, yeah.
2008, the year of the comet or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's definitely, I think people would definitely buy it. Because if you go on, I mean, of course, the internet isn't the ultimate barometer for these things. But, you know, you go on these articles that have come out in the last day or two and the comments and people are like, oh my God, you know, like freaking out because it's
people
like
still
this
care.
Thing could actually come out, you know, and so obviously there's interest there still.
I guess the only problem is that people would be expecting like the best fucking game ever made.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah, after a decade. But
but I don't know. I mean, it would be pretty cool. I think we need more games like Duke Nukem where basically an 80s action hero saves the day. And there was even a line in the famous 2001 trailer. The soldier comes up to Duke Nukem. He's like, what are you going to do, save the world all by yourself? There's like all this montage of destruction. It's like, yeah, damn right he is. So yeah, that's kind of obviously the ultimate delayed game of all time.
And then Prey's right there with it. And then...
Right. Yeah, Too Human has been in the works since about the dawn of creation, or 1999.
Yeah, I didn't realize till you mentioned that to me earlier today that it had been that long. I know people have been kind of jazzed up about it for the 360 for a while, and I hadn't really heard much about it till the last, maybe, I don't know, 6 months or something, but I kind of got the vibe from what people were saying about it that it had been in the works for a while, but I didn't think it had been like 8 years.
Yeah, I think it was originally going to be like a 5-disc PS1 game or something.
Wow.
And I think they actually showed it at E3 in 1999.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wonder, though, if these are almost, you know, like not like a full-fledged... I mean, obviously, if you kept like a full staff of programmers on a game for 8 years, you probably would be bankrupt.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know exactly how 3D Realms does it.
And so I was wondering, what else have they released? Is there really...
3D Realms?
Yeah.
Well, I think kind of their larger global company had, like, the Max Payne games and then all the Duke Nukem spin-off
things. Yeah, like 3D and all that. That came
I mean, you know, there's a Duke Nukem game, like, on the N64 and the PS1, and I think even the PS2.
I think it was, like, 3D or something it was called. Duke Nukem 3D.
Well, that was... That was a PC version was called that.
Oh, okay.
Those alien bastards are going to pay for messing up my ride.
Obviously. But yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is kind of interesting how some of these games kind of just continue to survive somehow.
They survived.
And
well, like in Half-Life 2, that was quite a gap between sequels, like 6 years.
Yeah, that's true.
That one got famously delayed a year after that code theft or whatever that was in 2003.
Yeah.
Which could have just been an excuse, we'll never know. No. Perfect Dark Zero took a long ass time to come out. I mean, even by Rare standards. But I mean, I guess you could look at it this way. If Prey came out, Duke Nukem Forever can come out.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is with Prey is it was original IP and no one really cared about it.
apparently continued to not care about it after it came out. I mean, well, I guess it sold, but, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't huge or anything.
Whereas Duke Nukem Forever is a sequel to a much beloved, very well-selling game.
Yeah.
That most people still remember. You know, when we had that, remember when we did the looping for Port Washington, I had the MGD computer,
yeah.
which is a Windows 98 machine, like an Athlon 500 or something like that. Anyway, I was so thrilled because I could run Duke Nukem 3D on it. Because you can't run a lot of those DOS games on, you know,
computers the
now.
Newer systems, yeah.
Even like Windows 2000, you couldn't run Duke Nukem on.
Huh.
Yes, it's quite sad. Oh, I wrote down some things that took less time than Duke Nukem Forever's development schedule, assuming it comes out next year. I have the manned moon landing program. That was only about, what, 9 years?
Yeah.
World War One and Two combined.
Yeah, I was going to say, before long, it's going to catch up to Vietnam if it keeps going at its rate.
They'll catch up to the Cold War eventually.
Yeah.
It's been 30 years, and I can still remember when we started this fucking game. Construction of the Panama Canal.
Wow.
It's or about the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Probably when all said and done, longer.
Jesus.
And it even took longer than the production of Port Washington.
Wow. That is amazing.
I bet you didn't think anything could last longer than that. But it can.
Nice.
One final topic I had, or part of this topic, was that can overcooking a product ruin it? You know, they spend so much time, like, second-guessing themselves, which kind of, I think, was a problem with Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
That you kind of get, well, this watered down.
They just kind of throw something out there in the end.
I think it kind of is kind of, how do I put this? The longer it takes to come out, the more burden I think they feel upon themselves to make it amazing.
Yeah.
And that kind of is like a snowball effect.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like you said, you know, people are. If Duke Nukem Forever does actually come out, you know, people are probably going to be disappointed by it because they're going to be expecting, you know, oh my god, this is going to be like the greatest thing ever made, and it probably won't be. So it's like, you know, kind of, it was kind of like when Lucas brought out the new Star Wars movies in a way, I suppose, you know, it's...
I hope it's better than Phantom Menace, though.
Hey, now. But, you know, it's like, how are you going to live up to people's expectations with that, no matter what you do, so...
Well, I think just by releasing it, they'll surprise a lot of people, so that'd be a good first step. So, will 2008 be the year of Duke Nukem? Only time will tell.
Maybe we'll be talking about it next year at this time in the Game of the Year Awards.
No, obviously, it'll be the Game of the Year. Okay, well, we have another small topic before we move on to our Game of the Year Awards. Is CGI, which stands for Computer Graphic Imagery...
Are you sure?
Well, originally I thought the I was like the I in graphics, kind of like Power Supply has that errant U.
Or an iRobot.
Oh, hell no! You know, I was even surprised at how much money I Am Legend made last weekend. I mean, I've been saying for years that Will Smith is a top star in the world, but...
Yeah, 77 million. It's pretty huge.
Yeah, apparently from what I've read, it's like a good movie until like the last third.
Yeah, and then they have a bunch of CGI.
Which they had people as zombies originally.
Yeah.
But apparently they weren't convincing enough for the director, so like... In the 11th hour.
So they put a bunch of craptastic CGI in.
This was like well into it that they did this. They're like, oh shit. So,
yeah, because they actually had to go in and take out all of the human characters, or did they paint over them or something silly?
I don't know. All I know was that it was kind of like one of those things where they decided it well into the movie, so that's probably why, as reported, the... special effects of that aren't good, but apparently all the desolation stuff is really good, because apparently they did close down large parts of New York.
Yeah.
Saying things like, oh, you can't get this effect on a green screen. Then they throw in a bunch of PlayStation 2 zombies.
God.
Yeah, whatever happened to the good old days when James Cameron would pull out a hot glue gun and attach vacuum cleaner parts to people and have them run really fast as aliens, and it was good enough.
Yep. Those were good times.
So I guess what we're going to touch on is, are all these effects and whatnot killing Hollywood?
Yeah. I think it's definitely lending itself to, you know, the fact that movies today are pretty generic and just kind of blah for the most part, and very expensive. Like the Golden Compass movie, I didn't watch it yet, but it's like I heard they spent like $180 million on it, and I'm like, why? I mean, Nicole Kidman, she commands a decent salary.
Isn't it just a bunch of polar bears and some snow? And
yeah, it's like, why does that need to cost $180 million?
I'm sure Disney did not spend that much on Narnia.
Yeah, I
especially
mean...
Especially with...
They obviously CGI'd a bunch of it, is what they did. You know, it's... And there you go, there goes your money. It's like, what happened to the good old days, like we were talking about last week or something, you know, where they... Charlton Heston in Ten Commandments or whatever is standing there, and they're like, well, there should be like 10,000 people behind him or something. So what they do, they had like 10,000 people standing behind him in this shot.
And it looks far more realistic than anything in Lord of the Rings, because you know it's real.
Yeah, because it's like, well, the movie's 50 years old. It had to have been done for real, you know?
And it looks better.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is, you know, since every movie since Lord of the Rings has to have these big, stupid, sweeping shots of entire armies rushing toward other armies, you see that and you know what, this is fake. Because for one thing, the camera is doing moves it could never actually do, even if you had like a UFO attached to it. Secondly, well, you just know it's fake. Even it doesn't even have to like have terrible effects like Mummy Returns.
Yeah.
It's almost like people...
PlayStation 1 graphics.
I saw that on TNT the other night, and it's like, oh man, I forgot how bad this looked.
Yeah.
It's like, a knock to the moon! Dave, do your impression of the first movie. You remember? That used to be a big phrase.
Emotep's freeze. A knock to the moon's booty.
Who has touched you?
Because it's not body, it's booty.
What is with movies? Okay, there's a good example.
Yeah, like the first Mummy kicked ass.
And the effects were awesome in it.
Yep, they're very well done, like the mummy and the sand and stuff. And all
or
that
even
stuff
like,
was, like, really cool.
Like the mummy thing, you remember he was fighting all those mummies at the altar and Rachel Weisz was laying there, you know, waiting for Darren Aronofsky?
Yeah.
It looked awesome! And then the second movie, it's like, well, who cares, you know?
Yeah, they're like, well, we've already got everybody hooked, obviously.
Men in Black was the same way. I mean, the first one had great effects, and the second one would look like a fucking video game.
Oh my god, Men in Black 2 is horrible. Awful. Had one funny joke in it where Lara Flynn Boyle looks at that poster after she swallows that guy, and she's got, like, the fat stomach, and she looks at the poster and sees she's supposed to be skinny. So she goes and throws up the... person she just ate or whatever.
I guess that was funny.
That was the only thing I laughed at in that freaking movie. Other than
that
movie it was just
wasn't
pain.
That wasn't very good.
There was one Will Smith movie that was not very good. One of very few.
Oh, because of course you like The Legend of Bagger Vance.
It's not great, but it's not bad.
Would you pay $30 for it on Blu-ray?
No. I'd pay $30 for 50 First Dates before I would pay for $30 for Legend of Bagger Vance.
That's a loaded statement.
Yes.
Well, even in a movie like Spider-Man 2, which was a sequel where they didn't skimp on the special effects, they're even better.
Yeah.
If you watch that with commentary, the scene where he's going to that play and he stops at, I don't know, Crime in Progress, you know, those guys with that convertible.
Yeah.
And then, at the end, he pulls up at the play, and he's driving the convertible. He drove it to the play, and the guy's like, I'm going to tow that. He's like, whatever. If you listen to the commentary, Sam Raimi's like, well, we drove that thing under a truck in a shot, and it smashed the windshield off. But we didn't actually use that scene in the movie. So, when the car pulls up, we used computer graphics to put the windshield back in for continuity. And it's like, you see it for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, so, okay, so what, they spent like $75,000 to stick a windshield back on a car just so it would be one less mistake in the IMDb's trivia list?
Yeah, it's like, come on.
I mean, why not just save your money, you know?
The thing is, too, like a really good example of this is like the James Bond films. Because if you look at like GoldenEye... That movie, most of it was stunt work. Mm-hmm. Like the part where the guy jumps off the dam, that's an actual guy jumping off the dam. The guy that jumps out of the damn airplane or whatever, that's like real. It's like, most of the stuff was done for real in that movie. And then as the Pierce Brosnan ones went along, they kept getting more and more ridiculous until finally in Die Another Day, you have like some ice palace with a death ray and just...
an invisible car.
Invisible car. Yeah, all this just retarded shit. And it wasn't as successful. And then, guess what? They decide, oh, we're going to reboot the franchise and make it gritty and do Casino Royale. And look at Casino Royale. Almost everything in that is stunt work for real.
That's true.
Like, you got the guys running around up on the crane. That's for real. Like, Daniel Craig was actually up there for a lot of that running around.
And you had that tanker chase thing,
mm-hmm.
which was real.
Yeah, and they had...
what else did they do in that movie? They had that
well, the part
building?
Where they flipped the Aston Martin
yeah.
when she's laying in the road and he dodges, that's actually for real. They really did that.
And they had that building. I mean, they had like a model, obviously, on the exterior. But it mm-hmm. looked really good
because yeah.
it was a model.
Yeah.
Anything
that's
real,
one thing I miss is models.
Yes, anything real looks more realistic than something fake, no matter what.
But it's like, look at Casino Royale. You know, stuff was for real. Real stunt work, real whatever. Very successful. People loved it. It was even critically well-received. It's like, Hollywood, get a hint. Get
and
the
did
clue.
They also, they didn't spend that much money on it either, did they?
No. No.
Gee, I wonder why. What costs more? Having a guy jump off this beam or having some geek in an office render it for 2 days?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just incredible. You know, you look at that stuff, it's like, you know...
Well,
let's go back to the old days where you just had people, a guy with a boom and a camera, and you filmed shit. It's
yeah.
It's like, come on. I'm waiting for the CGI Western movie to come out because, you know, Hollywood will have to do that at some
point. Oh, yeah, what about the
point?
Whole thing where now they want to, you know, since 300 was successful, they want to film every movie in front of a green screen?
Yeah. Thank you, Sin City and 300.
I think it works in
it
something
works
like Sin
for
City.
It works for Sin City because it's... based on a graphic novel, it kind of lends itself to it. It's like there's certain applications where this is, you know, great.
Well, I thought it worked in 300 as well. I mean, I thought that was pretty convincing looking myself.
Yeah, it didn't look bad. It's just the movie itself sucked, but...
Yeah, it wasn't all that. It was worth seeing once. That's all
maybe.
I can give it.
I about fell asleep during it, but that's okay.
But I'm just saying, you know, now they're talking about, well, I'm sure the bit... Oh, well, now we can do this. You know, oh, we can make... every movie for $60 million now, if it's all green screen, and then guess what? Once everybody starts doing it, the price will go up.
Yeah.
It's only cheap for a little while.
And it won't be novel, because everybody will be doing it, so...
But they should always remember Sky Captain. There is a shitty movie night. Well, apparently in Indiana Jones 4, which...
Yeah.
Oh, God, I just pray Shia LaBeouf does not fuck it up.
Oh, there's all kinds of ways that movie could get fucked up, not just him.
Well, them going in there and like pulling the Ark of the Covenant out of the warehouse is a good way to start, which
yeah.
apparently happens. What's the trailer supposed to be attached to some movie this Christmas, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's not National Treasure, is it?
That'd be appropriate, even though it's a different studio.
Yeah. Because that's like the only really big movie yet to come out, isn't it, is National Treasure?
Are there any Paramount movies?
Or was it on the IMAX prints of I Am Legend? Was that it? I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I thought I heard there was going to be a trailer for it coming out here soon. I'm sure it'll just be something like the Dark Knight teaser where they don't show you anything, but...
There'll be like a hat sitting on a table.
And a whip.
And it'll be like 2008.
Oh, and they'll hear a whip and it'll like yank the hat off the table or something, and that's it. Da 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 da.
Old and old, old, old and old.
Yeah, so it would be nice if, I don't know, somebody other than like independent filmmakers could, you know,
or Martin
make a
Campbell.
Movie for real. Yeah, or Martin Campbell. It's like, it's not that hard, guys. You used to do it. You know, like Spielberg, you used to do it. You still can. And Spielberg, for the most part, he's pretty good about how he uses CGI. It seems like he doesn't really abuse it. You know,
that's
like Saving
true.
Private Ryan, for instance, he, you know, they filmed the Normandy
thing. He
doesn't
base the movie on it. His story comes first.
Yeah. You know, like Minority Report, obviously they had to do CGI because it's set, you know, off in the future and stuff, but...
Right.
He kind of based it in reality, so it blended in really well somehow.
But. Okay, how about we finish off this topic with this question. What is the most blatantly, horribly overdone amount of CGI in a movie that you've ever seen?
Oh, God.
I mean, I have one in mind.
I don't know right off the top of my head. There's too many.
How about
to
Van Helsing?
Oh, God. Yeah, there's a good example of a movie that didn't need to be that way.
See, Mummy had CGI, but, you know, it also looked good, and it was a decent movie.
Well, see, the key thing is, Mummy, they didn't have shitloads of money because they didn't have a successful film behind it, so they had to be kind of economical in how they made it. So
yeah,
they picked
true.
Their spots where they did the CGI. But then the Mummy was successful, so then the studio is like, well, obviously we can throw, you know, like $100 million.
Well, then Mummy Returns.
Mummy Returns. And then, of course, the same director wound up doing Van Helsing. And I think Mummy Returns still did pretty good because
it had a huge opening weekend.
It
did
right?
a lot more than the first one did.
Yeah. So, of course, that justified giving like $170 million to the guy to go off and make some bullshit
Van Helsing could have been such a cool movie.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been hard. But they.
It would have been cooler if it had just been called Castlevania.
Yeah. That was one thing, this is a little off topic, but. It's nice. One good thing came out of the screenwriter's strike. I heard that Castlevania got delayed, so.
It won't help.
So.
What movie is that from for anyone out there? Discuss in comments. Yes, that's cool. Oh, did you see that Steve Norrington actually is not retired from films? He's going to do the Clash of the Titans remake?
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Van Helsing's probably a good one for the just most egregious abuse of CGI in a film. It's definitely right up there.
Can't think of any
and I haven't seen up. Sky Captain, so I'd...
Oh, I don't know if that really counts.
At least that was like the premise of that movie, though, in a way.
Oh, but, Sky Captain is... Again, it could have been so cool, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, shall we move on to our big epic ending
sure.
for a year of podcasts?
Yes.
All right. I should replace that with some real music.
Oh, no.
Yearly Game Awards 2007, even though we didn't do this last year. Whatever. Shut up. Okay, so Jones emailed me some categories, and he didn't pick winners in them. And I came up with some categories today, and I did pick some winners in them. So maybe... when we get to the parts where I have winners picked, you know, you can tell me what you think, and we'll discuss.
Sure.
Okay, well, the first category you have is Best MP, which I assume you mean multiplayer, not magic points?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you say?
Well, I would probably have to kind of split it and say Best Online Multiplayer, Halo 3, hands down, Best Local Multiplayer party game type thing, Rock Band, for sure.
Oh, I didn't even think of splitting it, but yeah, good point.
Because I was the only... Because I haven't even bothered with the online multiplayer for Rock Band. I'm sure it's okay, but the real charm of Rock Band is having, you know, four people in a room rocking out.
I did get a chance to play it online, two or three songs last week. It works really well, but
yeah.
Again, you can't do band tour mode. They had some, you know, they had some excuses for that, and I can actually understand. Because, you know, like, even when we played it,
yeah,
like, even, like, the 8-song set, you had to, like, commit to, like, doing it and make sure everyone can play their parts and whatnot. And I can see that could be even more difficult online.
Yeah, try playing the endless set list online.
yes, connection lost, or the disc cannot be read.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun with Halo as well. A good amount of time playing it. So I guess I'd probably have to agree with that one, and since I played Call of Duty 4, but, oh, it'll come back up in my awards. But awards doesn't necessarily mean a good award. So I would agree with that. Okay, so yes, best multiplayer goes to Halo 3, local co-op, local disc, whatever you want to call it, Rock Band. Yeah, go Rock Band. Oh, anyone who's listened to our podcast before can probably guess which two games are going to take home the most awards, but whatever.
Yes.
Pretend to be surprised. Just like you should pretend to be surprised when American Gangster wins Best Picture or at least Best Director this spring.
Yeah, Ridley Scott will win Best Director, yep. I have no doubts.
Okay, next. Most innovative. Like, game?
Yeah, basically.
I don't. You know, this probably would be Shadowpound. What about Halo 3? like the way it just works, you can do all sorts of shit.
Yeah, you know? Can just, well, yeah, like how everything has a multiplayer aspect to it. You know, even like the theater thing or whatever, you can sit there and watch your videos of your matches, and you can invite people in just like you're playing an online game. And yeah, that's it. Had some cool stuff like the Forge and all that, where you can manipulate the levels and all that.
But just how well it worked, where you, everyone just kind of sits there in the lobby, going from server to server, and you can like
yeah, you party up, and you just you can stay together the whole night with all the same people. And
when this round ends, I want to party up with you. And you can even go from a multiplayer online match to like a campaign multiplayer, and it just works really well.
Yeah.
So as far as like multiplayer, it was very innovative. So
yeah.
Oh wait, what about BioShock though? I mean, for first-person shooter, that's pretty innovative.
Yeah. And you got like games like Portal, also.
Oh damn it! I didn't even think of that one. And actually, hey, why don't we just give it to Portal? Portal was pretty awesome.
And then like Rock Band was kind of maybe my pick for this. It's kind of tough because it's like, yeah, sure, you already had Guitar Hero, but look at like
it's more of an evolution than an innovation or a ninnovation.
I don't know. You know, they brought out the drums and they kind of married like karaoke games together with Guitar Hero, threw drums in. They made it so that you could play like that Band World Tour mode, which Guitar Heroes had nothing like that before.
That's true.
Definitely lends to like the replay value of the game, I would say.
How about a three-way tie on that one then? Yeah. Rock Band, Halo 3, and Portal.
I would probably agree that out of those, Halo 3's probably I would probably squeeze it out actually for Halo 3, thinking about everything.
I don't
that it
think
does.
Innovation should be like completely reinventing the wheel. It should be doing something really, really well.
Yeah, and Halo 3 did everything really well. I mean, playing four-player co-op through the campaign's a freaking blast.
Oh, we got to do that this weekend or sometime when LTJ gets back.
We'll find a niche.
Biggest surprise is the next category. I mean, like, biggest surprise game that, like, it's good, or...
Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking.
The beginning of Assassin's Creed might fit into that.
Yeah, that was going to come up in one later on for me, but it's... biggest, or maybe it should have been, like, most pleasant surprise as far as a game, you know, like, I was, like, for me it was kind of a draw between Lost Planet and Crackdown, actually. Because Lost Planet, I didn't really expect much of anything from it, but I borrowed it from a friend and really got hooked on it, and I played, that might have been the game I played the most of any game this year, actually.
I actually have that coming up, too, another award.
And then, like, Crackdown, you know, it kind of got this reputation of, oh, it's the Halo 3 beta, oh, and you get Crackdown with it. And Crackdown actually was a lot of fun. I'm not a huge Grand Theft Auto fan, but I did like Vice City a lot, and Crackdown's kind of reminiscent of those games, except that you're the cop this time, and they added in the whole neat angle with where your guy actually levels up and you get, like, superpowers, and after a while you can pick up cars and throw them, and the online co-op's pretty cool with it, where your friend can just, like, jump right in and be running around on the other side of the city from where you are, and it all just works.
Okay. So, well, we'll just... All right, so you say your biggest surprise is Lost Planet / Crackdown.
Yeah.
All right. Biggest disappointment, Call of Duty 4 for me.
That was going to be mine, too. I didn't play through the whole game, but I played, like, the first two levels, and I just was not impressed.
People are always like, oh, finally away from World War II, and I thought the same thing, but guess what? It's the same game.
Yeah, it is.
It just has different weapon graphics.
I know, that was my big disappointment with it. I was like, I loved Call of Duty 2, but I can just go back and play Call of Duty 2 again. I don't need to spend
it's
$60.
No different.
Bucks.
You're escorting tanks, you're sniping. The only stage that is any different is you haven't played through it, but you know, like, well, especially like in the first Iraq War, the one people liked, they'd always show that footage of like blowing up Saddam Hussein's troops, you know, like from the war jets, you know, it's like,
yeah, you could see like
it's always
the,
in either black or white or inverse
or whatever.
There's a whole stage like that in Call of Duty where you could like run that gun,
okay,
and it has like all the shit on the screen, and like the guy's like, kaboom, get that guy, you're clear to engage, and then you shoot. That was the only part of the whole game that wasn't like every other World War II shooter, because obviously they didn't have that kind of technology in World War II.
Yeah, it was... I don't know, I liked, you know, like I said, I love Call of Duty 2, but I And I think part of the problem, too, with bringing it into the modern times is in the World War II genre, the Call of Duties are pretty head and shoulders above the rest of the crowd. Mm-hmm. Where you bring it into the modern day, you got games like GRAW, GRAW 2, Rainbow Six Vegas,
yeah,
which are all exceptional games, and they all have some sort of co-op element to them, which, hello, Call of Duty, let's step it up with the co-op. You're in a squad. It doesn't need to just be a goddamn single-player game all the time. I see people gushing about this game all the time online, and it pisses me off because it's not that good.
And there's so many parts of it that are just so, like, masturbation-y, for lack of a better term. Like, the opening credit scene where you're in the back of that car.
Oh, God. And it goes on forever.
We need to speed up a little bit. We'll come back to that game because I'm sure... yeah.
So we're in the minority on that one, but we...
This has been the Minority Report. Best Live Arcade. How about Aegeus Wing?
It is pretty cool because it was free and it's a blast to play co-op online. And you can just kind of jump in and rock out to it. And you can beat the game in what, I don't know, maybe like an hour or less.
And the music is repetitive but great.
Yeah,
what about Turtles, though?
Turtles was my sentimental pick. Because it does pretty much completely recreate the good old arcade game, and you can play it full 4-player co-op online and everything.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
All right. Okay, best downloadable content? What?
Well, I just figured since we're pretty 360-centric.
Okay, how about anything for Rock Band? They've been kicking pretty good ass on that.
That was probably going to be my pick. Was like the Metallica song pack for Rock Band, I think.
And then you have lamest downloadable content as another award. Horse Armor, I assume, came out last year.
Yeah.
Actually, Horse Armor would have been pretty useful. I've lost a lot of horses to
skeletons. Too.
And I come out like, Christ, the thing cost me $2,000!
I even lost my cool, like, death horse or whatever that one time. That one that you get from, what is it, the Dark Brotherhood or who the hell gives you that thing?
I don't know. I never played the Dark Brotherhood. Don't you get a horse for, like, beating the game or...
No, you get, like, crazy dragon armor.
Oh, right.
But, yeah, I'm pretty selective in the downloadable content I pick up, so I didn't buy any that I thought was terrible. The stuff I heard about was stuff like in the Tiger Woods golf game where... You could actually just go online and pay to download a fully jacked up created player in the game. So basically, instead of like working to make your player better and boost his abilities in the game, you could just go out and give him like $253, whatever the heck it was, and download a character that was ready to rock.
That could be a bit disturbing.
Yeah. So, that seemed pretty lame to me, so that fits the bill.
So, buying stuff that you used to be able to earn in the game.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can still earn the stuff, but basically, it's if you want to be lazy.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your next award that you came up with. Best comment while playing on Xbox Live. And I guess I would have to agree with what you picked. You want me to tell the story?
Yeah, you can tell the story.
Okay, when we... Halo 3 is... I don't think it's that much fun to play single player, but it's a lot of fun to play the main game co-op. So quite often, me, Jones, his wife, and a guy named Funky Drums would play it, and, you know, we'd find skulls and whatnot. And it was in the last stage where, like, the Halo or whatever you're on is, like, falling apart.
Yeah.
And so we're all in the dune buggies, like, trying to drive off this Halo, and all that flood is attacking. And it was something like... Funky Drums got out of the Jeep and was, like, killing all the flood while everything around us was, like, falling down and crashing. And he said, God, I feel like I'm the janitor on the Titanic.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
It's awesome.
So I guess we give that best Xbox Live comment of the year. Congratulations, yeah. Funky Drums. Yeah, I should play with him again sometime. He was a really cool guy.
Yeah, I got to play with him last week. It was a good time.
Which leads into our next award, game with the most quoted cheesy lines.
Yeah, I think Halo 3 is going to win again.
No, we're talking personally, but
yeah.
I mean, I am truth.
Yep.
I'm a thief. Anything that
I'm
Purple
a thief,
Crotch
but
says.
I can't. But I keep what I steal, and you got two corpses in one grave.
Yes, and don't forget.
God, that game is just so cheesy. It's great.
I know, God, I want to play it again.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we could also put in, best worst kept love affair. Master Chief Cortana.
Yeah. There's definitely something going
what
on.
What really
there.
Happens when he plugs her into his helmet?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep. He jacks in.
Okay, let's move on. Jacks in or off? You decide. All right, biggest WTF game. I think that there's no other one that can possibly win this award except for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, for all of the, what, half hour, 40 minutes we played it, but goddamn, the beginning of that game is just like, what the hell? Because it totally flips it on its side from what you thought it was going to be from all the trailers
but
and everything.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
Well, for those of you who have not played it, I'm going to spoil it for you.
Basically, it's like a sci-fi, almost time travel, goofy,
right,
weird shit
right, it's like
game.
You're a modern day guy remembering your ancestor being an assassin.
Yeah.
And there's almost like DNA crap. So it's really weird. And that happens right at the beginning, not halfway through like the Matrix or anything.
And you're like going through levels and there's like DNA barriers
like,
at the end
no
of hallways
memory
and
at this
stuff.
Point or something.
Yeah,
I'll
it's
say.
Just freaking weird.
Yeah. But apparently it's a solid game and it sold quite a bit.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's move on to some, well, I guess I have some weird awards still stuck in here, but there's some more standard awards. Best graphics? I put down BioShock.
I would agree, BioShock.
Okay. So there you go, BioShock, you rock. All right, best soundtrack. Again, I put down BioShock.
BioShock, yeah.
BioShock was freaking awesome.
What, you didn't put Rock Band for your
remember
best
that part,
soundtrack?
Remember the part where you're in the, what was it called, like, Fort Frolic, and Sandra fucking Cohen is, like, sending all the splices to kill you, and it's playing,
yeah.
like, that classical music?
Mm-hmm.
That's just perfect.
This is so cool. It's got, like, all that cool 40s stuff and everything, you know, playing.
Well, yeah, not just the music they roll, but, yeah, when you hear, like, you're fired and you expect to see Tim Robbins in a, you know, with his pistol, but...
Doesn't happen that way.
That game was awesome.
And
God, that game was awesome. Or, like, when you first go into the bathysphere and it's playing, you know, Beyond the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
It's just brilliant. Okay, most play time for a single game. So... What game this year have you spent the most time playing?
I think, like I said earlier, I believe it was Lost Planet.
Really?
I played, not single player, but freaking online, I played the hell out of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I can't even count how many hours I pissed away on that, but it was awesome.
Huh. Okay, for me, probably Rock Band already.
Yeah.
Probably closely followed by Halo 3, because I haven't played much online of any other game, and usually... Like
yeah, that's
16-hour
game,
I play it once and that's it.
Yeah.
Even like the fact that I've played through BioShock twice is not as much time as I've spent on Rock Band so far. So
yeah.
Best opening stage. I just kind of thought of this one.
Oh, yeah, that's.
Remember God of War 2? That came out this year.
Oh yeah, it did.
And it was pretty awesome. I think overall, I like the first one better, or it was a better first-time experience.
Yeah.
But the opening stage of God of War 2 was pretty awesome. Where you fought the Colossus of Rhodes.
Yeah.
You may recall it from our first video podcast. All right, now, as we all know, every video game at approximately the 90% mark must have a betrayal scene. Right?
Yep.
So I thought, how about some awards for the most obvious and least obvious betrayal? I mean, there's always going to be a betrayal.
Yeah.
It's just that, is it obvious or not?
Yeah.
So... The only negative word I can think of, the most obvious betrayal, I have given it to the Atlas/Fontaine reveal in BioShock.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. That's about the only chink in BioShock's armor, I would say, is that, but it's...
And, you know, the story, minimal. Which is, you know, supposed to be so amazing and original, is basically Total Recall under the sea.
Yeah, but it's cool, because Total Recall kicks ass. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, can you imagine a good Total Recall game, not the one in the Nintendo?
That could be the sequel to BioShock.
I mean, anyone who's played any video game ever should have immediately realized that Atlas was a bad guy, and I just spoiled it, but I don't care. Because if you haven't played and beaten BioShock by now, you suck. All right. Least obvious betrayal. I know it wasn't like a big game, but in that Stranglehold, which you borrowed from me, the dude who's like your friend, who is actually an hard-boiled...
Oh,
hard
no,
boiled,
cover my ears. No, it's okay.
Get this. He betrays you at the end,
oh,
and you have to kill him.
You
can you believe
him.
That?
Do you get to cap him in, like, tequila time?
I think so.
Nice.
But, of course, you wouldn't really expect that since he was actually in the movie. And they were like... No, they were friends at the end of the movie, of hard-boiled, but...
So it's kind of like in Bourne Supremacy when Brian Cox turns out to be bad.
Supremacy. Is that the third one?
Second one.
I never saw that.
Okay. Well, there, now you know.
I think a runner-up for most obvious betrayal. Oh, thanks. Now I can sleep at night. I think a runner-up for the most obvious betrayal was that floating orb thing in Halo.
Yeah.
He just knew it was going to turn bad.
Guilty Spark.
That might be the second best Xbox Live lie of the year. Remember? Because you're like, well, where's the big betrayal scene? Where is it? And then when that thing turned on us, yeah. Betrayal!
Get him!
Oh, we're down to our last five awards.
Oh, jeez.
Well, six including Game of the Year. Best New Game Character. Yes, that's right. I put this. I give it to the Weighted Companion Cube. It has weighted its way into the hearts of a nation.
Nice. Oh, wow. I'd probably have to go with the Big Daddies. I thought those were pretty cool.
Fine.
But the Weighted Companion Cube is pretty cool. If it would have been more prominent than, like, one level, it might have pulled it out for me, but I'll give it the runner-up.
The Big Daddies are pretty cool, too.
I just remember the first time in Bioshock when I was going down this kind of tunnel thing, and I heard the footsteps for the first time, and then the moan, like the and I was like, I started like freaking out, actually. I'm like, oh shit, where the hell is he? And all, and this was, you know, before I knew that if you didn't attack him, you were like, okay. And so I'm like, oh shit, where is he? You know, and then finally I noticed, oh, he's in the next tunnel over, because it was like in that glass tunnel where you could see through to the other place. And
oh, I remember that part, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, good, okay. But just because it was able to do that, there it is, Big Daddy.
Oh, well, the first time you had to fight the Big Daddy, was just nuts. It's just
yeah, and
crazy.
They, like, lunge at you and stuff. And
the,
like,
Big Daddies were quite iconic. I mean, if I was being rational, I would probably give it to the Big Daddy, but I had to give it to the Companion Cube.
Somebody had to.
Its acting was amazing, and you know why it won the award. I mean, just like any like actor or actress, especially actress who wants to win an Oscar, you have to die.
Well, yeah, it gave its life for you.
Yep, it was like, I'll never let go, nameless hero of Portal, and then it fell into the pit.
And it protected you for the whole level, too, so, you know.
That's true.
Pretty awesome.
It was quite the character. All right, you'll appreciate this.
Oh, boy.
And I'm sure you'll agree. Most underrated game of the year. Do you see what I put?
Where is your list?
Right there.
Oh, here. Yes, I would.
You agree?
I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
I thought it was a perfectly enjoyable game, but it got kind of shat on.
Yeah. Good old LP, Lost Planet. And it's, yeah, I'd, like, the single player was all right. I mean, it wasn't the greatest, but
I didn't think
it wasn't that bad either.
I mean, like, that was supposed to be, have, you know, have a, oh, it's got a really short single player, and Stranglehold is really short single player, but I did not feel ripped off by them like I did another game we're going to talk about right after this.
But yeah, with Lost Planet, it was, I thought it was kind of a cool throwback game in a way, because you get like the huge, ridiculous boss battles at the end of the levels.
The grappling
and, like,
hook.
Like, larger than life, yeah, and you got the grappling hook. And
The T-energy always ticking down.
Yeah, you got that ticking clock there, and the online was just phenomenal for it. I liked it a lot. I just burned countless hours playing the online.
I think it was like one of those deals where Capcom spent a lot of money making and marketing it. So that kind of became the story rather than the game itself.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it sold well enough, too, so.
Yeah, it's done well enough that there's talk of a sequel, which is cool, so I'll buy it.
Yeah, so I don't see what the big problem was. All right, which leads us to most overrated game of the year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, since I've already complained about it, I'm going to say Call of Duty 4. Because, you know, even when I played the online, it's no different than the other Call of Duty games. I do not get it. What is the big deal?
Yeah, it's like, I guess people like being spoon-fed what they've already had before.
Well, for those of you keeping track, we are ripping on an Xbox 360 game.
So yes.
It can happen.
There it is.
And I know Super Mario Galaxy isn't in this list, which is supposed to be amazing, but I didn't play it, so what do you want me to do? Lie?
It was all right. I wouldn't call it amazing. But
I want to play it. I'd like to play it.
Yeah. Like I think I said on a previous podcast, it was like the first Mario game that I saw that I actually wanted to play in, like, you know, over a decade. So that, I guess, says something. But yeah, Call of Duty, it's just, I see all these people talking about Game of the Year. Like, people are all... Some people were pissed off about BioShock winning the Spike Video Game Award
or whatever.
Well,
for one thing, the single-player game is four times longer.
Yeah, and it's like... And
alone.
And all these people are saying, oh, it should have been Call of Duty 4 and all that. It's like, why? It's like, been there, done that.
Oh, okay, so it's a modern-day war game. Guess what? It's still just another war game.
Yeah.
I mean, BioShock was a frickin' social commentary, for crying out loud. I mean, it's like art.
Yeah.
Okay, since I think most games have shitty game endings, I have created an award for least shitty game ending of the year. And my pick is for God of War 2. The end of God of War 2. I can't remember exactly what happens. Oh, yes. He freaking kills Zeus or something.
Nice.
And then it's like, I am coming to Olympus to kill everyone! And then you see all these titans coming out of the earth, crawling up a giant mountain with Kratos riding on the back of one. Then it's like, the end begins! And
oh,
it's like,
there it is.
Yeah.
Just like the shirt you got.
Right, but very much like 51st Dates. I don't know if I need to buy a PlayStation 3 just to play it, but it would definitely help persuade me.
But if you did, then you could also get 51st Dates on Blu-ray.
And I bet it would be less than $30 by then. But could I get my favorite movie of all time, sort of, Wimbledon, on Blu-ray?
Oh, God.
Wimbledon's not a bad movie. I mean, it's okay.
No, it's not bad. No, it's not.
I mean, you know, what's
your face? I think you've blown it out of proportion a little, but, you know.
Well, it's just kind of a good running joke, you know. I mean, everyone always says, you know, like, really boring movies are the best movies ever, or, like, typical ones. And nobody ever expects anyone to say Wimbledon.
There's probably a reason for that. Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know if I have a pick for least shitty game ending. I played enough of them this year, but I kind of liked Lost Planet's ending, even though I suppose it was kind of obvious, but the whole, like, global warming type thing where they unlocked those things that kind of, like, heated the planet.
Well, wasn't
the planet
at the end of the game they actually had to
something.
Create global warming or something?
Yeah, to, like, thaw the ice and make it, like, a hospitable planet again or
and,
whatever.
And, I mean, obviously it's secretly Earth of the far future.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty... Didn't neat ending. Didn't he, like, lose his memory in that or something?
Yeah.
There was a betrayal scene in that, too, wasn't there? I mean, there had to have been.
Yes, the Yuri... Or whatever his name was, that dude.
Hey,
he betrayed him.
What was the betrayal scene in Dead Rising? I can't remember.
Well, the chick gets, like, zombified, and the cop gets zombified. I mean, it's not really a true betrayal, but I suppose you could kind of say Carlito was sort of a betrayal, because he's, like, waiting right outside when you get there, and he doesn't seem like he's the enemy, but then you end up having to fight him in the food court early on. I don't think there was, like, a true, real betrayal moment in that.
Wasn't there a thing where, like, the government comes in and...
I guess you could say the...
Overtime mode or something?
Yeah, I guess you could say the government kind of betrays you because they don't want you to get out alive, because they don't want the word to get out to the people that this is going on. Because you have to fight that military dude and everything at the end on the tank.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, that part was hard. That was a cool game.
Yeah.
I'd be looking for... Are they going to make a sequel to it?
They haven't really said, but I wouldn't be surprised. It was pretty successful.
Well, I heard that it wasn't very successful in Japan.
Mm.
So, you know what? Guess what? There's a whole world besides Japan.
That's right.
Okay, we better move on.
And they
we're
buy
already
video
over,
games.
But I know it's the special year-end edition or whatever the hell we're calling it.
That's right. So we can do whatever the hell we want.
All right. So just to be ironic, I have created an award called Best Overall Value. And I have given it to the most expensive thing you can buy, which is Rock Band.
That was actually going to be my pick. The probably obvious choice is the Orange Box, but when I think about it and how little I've played it, you know, it's like, yeah, it's great you get all those games, but it hasn't really hooked me. We're like Rock Band, yeah, it's $170, but we've both spent a hell of a lot of time playing it already.
And probably still will.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to pay to download more songs, but it's still... It adds to the value, if anything. I know that doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense, but... There's a lot of fun to be had with Rock Band. But again, you know, we mentioned mostly if you, like, have friends over, but that being the case, it's a lot of fun.
Well, I think the thing with the Rock Band downloadable content that makes it great is that, like, you know, and stuff like Guitar Hero, the downloadable content's kind of like this bastard child that sits over in the corner. And
oh, that's right. Yeah.
Where, like, in Rock Band, it gets integrated into all aspects of the game. So, like, in Band World Tour mode, if you do, like, a mystery set list, the game will randomly pick a couple of songs from all the songs you have, whether they're on the disc or your downloadable content. So there's a chance one of your downloadable songs will come up in that mystery set list, which really cool.
I notice it gets worked into Solo Tour, too. Like, when I was playing it earlier today, it was like, you know, 17 of 64 songs, you know, so that includes, like, the six I downloaded or however many it is.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool that they integrated it into all aspects of the game.
Rock Band is kind of like one of those things, like the 360. Don't let all the playa haters, I said playa with a A at the end, not E-R, let you get you down. You know, yes, there are some issues with the guitar. Yes, it's not, in some ways, it's not as good as the Guitar Hero one. Yes, the strap will break. Mine is starting to break. That said, it's still awesome. Just like the 360, you know. Yeah, it might break on you, but guess what? It's still, until it does, it's awesome.
Well, and it's great, too, because, you know, a few months ago, we had talked about Rock Band at some point, and we talked about how that game could be really killer if they did it right. Mm-hmm. It could be really awesome, and they did it right.
See,
it's like...
I remember all along I was like saying, Rock Band.
Yeah, and they did hit it on the head pretty much. They, you know, kind of screwed the pooch with their peripherals a little bit, but from what I've read, they've got a really great replacement system where they do like 2-day shipping with it. So
I think it's like just the day one boxes are the ones that are the worst, which is what I have, but...
I know like the one I got, which it... The sticker on it said like November 1st, and I pulled the guitar out. I haven't even used it yet, but God, the strummer is flimsier than
shit.
But
yours is
different
than mine because yours has like Rock Band stamped onto the drumsticks, and mine doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, let's finish up here. So now we're going to come to the Game of the Year award, and I wrote.
I know you really want to say one, but you don't want it to be unanimous.
Well, okay. This is so tough for me. I have, like, I just kind of pulled... I mean, mostly I'm going by game playing time, but then I have a runner-up, which I... Do we want to say tie, or should we, like, make one bow down to the other?
Well, I don't think so.
Would you agree on those two as, like, the top? You see what I put?
I'm sure you probably have what...
Yeah.
Yeah, I would... I mean, to me, hands down, BioShock's the best game of the year. I don't have any question about it. I haven't played Mass Effect a ton yet, which that was like the one game I thought could challenge it, but the fact that Mass Effect hasn't hooked me and made me just sit there and keep playing it nonstop tells me it's not going to be better than BioShock.
Mm.
So, like, the thing with BioShock is it was a game that I really didn't have any interest in until about 3 or 4 days before it came out, and then I bought it, and I was completely amazed by it. It showed that video games can be an art form. Hands down. I mean, I want to see Roger Ebert talk shit about video games if he actually sat there and saw that game.
He wouldn't be able to get past stage one of BioShock.
He wouldn't be able. Maybe he could watch some kid play it and maybe appreciate it. But, you know, it's just such an amazing game. It's, you know, the story, you know, yeah, sure, it's derivative of Total Recall, but it's still great. And just the whole atmosphere of the game is just...
It's
extraordinary.
Definitely one of the most atmospheric games that have ever been made.
Like how I talked about how I was actually kind of scared the first time I came across a Big Daddy, and it's like, I can't remember the last time a video game made me, like, feel emotions like that, you know? Like, it's a very emotional journey of a game, and it's just, I can't, there's nothing else that really compares to it, I don't think.
Yeah, I guess, What I had done here is I wrote down Rock Band and BioShock, and I was actually going to have BioShock as a runner-up because I've just been playing so much Rock Band. Maybe I've just been kind of... Well, it's
because
totally
it's the most
awesome.
Recent thing you've played
right.
And all that, yeah. So.
But I guess one way we could also look at it is Rock Band is definitely a lot better when you have multiple people to play it with, whereas BioShock is a single-player experience, so no matter what, you'll get the same thing.
Yeah.
So maybe that tidbit alone could, you know, put it at the top. Yeah, it's just freaking awesome, and it's good to see that when all these game awards are coming to fruition here at the end of the war, that it is the one winning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, Mario Galaxy is the best reviewed game ever made. I'm pretty sure if I were to play it, I would not like it more than BioShock.
No.
I know that sounds, you know, close-minded, but fuck it.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm glad to see that, you know, it's kind of like last year when everybody was talking about Gears of War, and I was like, bullshit, it's Oblivion, and Oblivion won the big awards and, you know, the important awards, and I was like, good, people get it. It's, like, unlike movies, where people seem to get it as far as video game awards go so far.
That's true.
And, yeah, Rock Band's great, but yeah, like you said, it's a whole different kettle of fish if you've got, like, a room full of people playing it. It's just a blast.
It's kind of ironic that the video game awards or whatever, the ones were, like, on Spike TV or MTV yeah. or something like that, and an artistic game won.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was, like, the MTV Movie Awards, it would be something like Pirates of the Caribbean would win.
Yeah.
Now, I, you know, obviously I wouldn't say anything negative about Spike TV or MTV since, you know, they've been nice to me in the past, but I'm just saying I find that kind of ironic that, yeah. you know, they get Samuel Jackson up there on stage and then it's a really artistic but really awesome game, not a populist game, so to speak, like Halo 3.
Yeah, not just, oh, here, give it to Halo 3 or whatever. You know, it's
Halo 3 was a hell of a game, but Bioshock pisses all over it.
That's right.
And then turns it over and goes in for seconds.
And then wipes its ass with it.
Yeah. All right, I guess I will concede to that then. I would agree then that Bioshock was the fucking game of the year. But I think Rock Band is a very close second because it's fun as hell.
Yeah, Rock Band's definitely a achievement in its own right. It's the first, you know, party game type thing that I've played where I really think it lives up to the name. You know, it's the sort of game where you get there and people are just kind of drawn to it. Like, they want to dive in there. Like, I sent you that picture where they were having some Christmas party at, I don't know if it was some old folks' home or what, but there was mm-hmm. like a freaking grandma sitting there rocking out on the drums and doing vocals and stuff. You know, it just shows that people, you know, people like the idea of karaoke and things like that, but they can be kind of intimidated when there's like an audience, you know, if they go to a bar or whatever. But,
unless they're me.
Yeah. Well, you're karaoke Christ, so.
That's right.
But, you know, when you're in the privacy of your own home and you're with friends and stuff like that, you get a little more courage or whatever, you know, and you're like, ah, what the hell, I'll try belting out that song, or yeah, I'll try doing the drums or whatever, and people just kind of dive in and give it a try, and, you know, if somebody only wants to play on easy, they can, and the other people can play on whatever difficulty levels they want, and it allows, you know, everybody, people of all ages, you know, competencies, whatever, to be able to play it, and it's a lot of fun.
One thing I've noticed about it is it seems like anyone that plays it wants to buy it.
Yeah.
Like, I played it that one time, John Gulika went out and bought it. Then the other day, Kurt went out and bought it.
Yeah, he was like, over at my place when you came over, and he was there, he played it for, what, maybe 2 hours, and he, like, called up Best Buy, and he's like, can you hold one for me?
And then, I don't know if he's going to go buy it, but Mike Kowalski was here the other day, he's like, wow, he had never played any of those games before, and he's like, wow, this is really fun, I guess people that play these games aren't a bunch of losers, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what's this for? And I'm like, that's the Xbox 360. He's like, oh, I might have to buy an Xbox. It's like,
nice.
It's just interesting to see that catch on like that. So
yeah,
maybe with a little bit more like gestation and time, maybe Rock Band would have been the game of the year. But okay, so yes, Bentech.com has awarded the game of the year award to Bioshock. It's really awesome.
Ding ding
if
ding.
If you have not played it yet, you suck.
Make sure you run out and amend that immediately.
Very well.
Buy it at whatever freaking electronics store's nearest to you.
Although the ending was a little brief. I know we've talked about this a million times before, but you know, like how the game isn't really that much different whether you kill the sisters or not, basically just the ending movie.
Yeah, it would have been cooler if they would have had something a little different for the kill all the sisters ending, but it was still kind of interesting because it kind of, you know, showed that your dude decides he's going to kind of take over the world or try to anyway. That's what I got out of it. Like that Rapture wasn't enough for him and he needed more.
Yes. Much like the Little Mermaid. Okay, well, that's it for the 35th BenHeck.com podcast. Wow, we've really gone overtime. Much like Catwoman.
Much like Catwoman, yes. Without Marvel skin, though.
Using this cream has made my skin hard as marble. Oh, she actually says that in the movie. What's her face?
Fun
Sharon
fact.
Stone.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess we'll talk to you in the new year, aught 8. I'm really going to miss it when we get into the teens, because we won't be able to say aught anymore.
I'll have to figure something out.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to say, 10? 11? It's going to be kind of lame.
Back in 11? Yeah, it won't really be good until it gets into the 20s, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, back in 10, now we can say, like, aught 8 or aught 7, or 2000 was the same way. It's just like a clunker name.
Yeah, it's just like, what do you even do with this? It's like, let's just pretend it doesn't even exist. We'll move right on to 2001.
There's a podcast topic, Years That Suck.
Yeah.
Like,
for reasons you might not expect.
Like, 90 was kind of a... I mean, it was an okay year as a year, but 90, like, just kind of sounds dumb.
Yeah.
Like, 99, it's like you got a pickaxe and you're finding gold, you know? Wow, I'm just wasting time. All right.
Nice.
We'll talk to you next time. Happy New Year. Drive safe. I probably won't, though.
Yeah, like, happy holidays and stuff.
Indeed. Well met, Jones.
And game. Oh, thank you, kind sir.
You've made a fair bit of gold.